If you could turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. Arkansas was a blessed time. It was amazing to see just the body of Christ go with a very unique and diverse group to a place we didn't even know, never have been, and just God just works, and we just go by faith, right? And we're praying for South Dakota. It'll be an amazing time. Also, shout out to the music team, right? They have an album out. Anyone heard the album? They have an album on Spotify and Apple Music. Shout out to that. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. This is King David as he's coming to the end of his life. In verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. To keep the charge. David, a great man of God that was used mightily, and his last few words, he's saying to the next king, to Solomon, to keep the charge. Because he was charged something by God. And he failed many times, right? He failed many times, but what did he do? He kept the charge of the Lord to the end of his life. Now we could go into 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this word, keep the charge, is like a watchman. It's a preservation of something. You're persevering. You're keeping safe. It is a duty that you're given. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now we go to Paul. Now Paul is telling Timothy, he is charging him in verse 1. He's giving him a charge because God has given him a charge. And in verse 2, it says, preach the word. And we're just going to skip down. Verse 3 and 4, it talks about how the world will not even be able to endure sound doctrine anymore. How they'll be taken away from different teachings that they can't even endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it at all. But Paul, in verse 5, is where I want to focus on. It says, but watch thou in all things. Watch in all things. Right? Keep the charge in all things. This word watch means to have a calm and collected spirit in all things. When I'm at work, I keep watch of all things. When I'm out evangelizing, I keep watch in all things. I have a calm and collected spirit. So when we go out to different states and different cities and around the world, we have a calm and collected spirit. When I could talk to an atheist or someone who doesn't have the same faith as me, do I change? Do I get outraged or change my mood? No, I have a calm and a collected spirit. Because I was charged something. Watch in all things. Next part. Endure afflictions. There will be people against you. You will have people who cannot endure that sound doctrine. Who tell you, you cannot do that. You can't keep the charge of the Lord. That is not for you. That's for somebody else. That is the enemy speaking lies to you. Keep the charge. Paul hammered that, didn't he? Endure afflictions. Christ did too as well. He hammered that. Endure afflictions. Enduring means standing under. Don't move. Don't waver. You're going to go through them. Next part, it says, do the work of an evangelist. What is an evangelist? It's a bringer of good tidings. Boy, does the world need some good tidings, huh? They need some good news, and that's what the gospel is. They need good tidings. That's what happens when we go out by faith, when we're charged by God to go out and preach the word. And then the last part says, make full proof of thy ministry. To make full proof means to bear, to carry through the end. That is the charge. You don't just charge, bull rush, and just die off, right? It's to the end. To make full proof of what? the ministry. What is the ministry? To proclaim Christ, to walk in his ways, to proclaim the finished work. That is the ministry. And so God, when he sent his son, what did he do? He charged his son. He charged Christ, his son. And Christ, he endured many afflictions. When he was in the wilderness, the devil tried to tempt him 3 different times, but God just kept charge and knew what he had to do. And then when Peter said, "Don't die on a cross, be it far from you, Lord, that is not for you," what did Christ do? He said, he kept the charge. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. I'll keep the charge." And then when he's on the cross, in Luke 23, 3 different times, the first it's the leaders who say, "If you're the Son of God, get down from the cross. Save yourself." And then the soldiers said, "Save yourself." And then the third time, the man next to him, one of the thieves, said, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself." That wasn't the charge of the Lord for himself. The charge was for all of us, for others, for the lost world. And then Christ rose from the dead, and he charged the apostles, the disciples, and they kept the charge, right? And they spread the good news to preach to all the ends of the world. And then the disciples taught everybody else. And then fast forward, we're here years later, and then you have great men like Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, all these great preachers who kept the charge that first originated from God the Father to the Son and now to us. And now Pastor Stevens comes along, and he gets the charge. And he goes, and he keeps it. And how do you know? By a man, by his fruit. Just look to your left and to your right. This is the fruit of a man who was charged by God. And then that charge is given to all of our great pastors that we have now. And now the charge is given to us. Is to keep the charge. Is to what? Let's read that verse again in closing. Verse 5. To watch thou in all things. To endure afflictions. To do the work of an evangelist. And to make full proof of thy ministry. We need to preach the word. Who else would do it? Who else would keep the charge? We have a charge. We had an affliction during COVID-19, right? But doors maybe have closed, but there's still a charge. We still got to go forward. There's still lost souls. Death does not go on pause. Hell does not go on pause. People are still going there. There is a charge that we need to. And you and each and every one of you have a purpose and a charge given by God. And that is an amazing gift. Amen.
Good evening. We are an evangelizing church. That is worthy to be celebrated. We are an evangelizing church. We know that, right? So we're going to keep it going. I am here tonight because in February of 1976, I was almost 21 years old. I think it was a week before my birthday. I was in Maine driving up to a lake to go snowmobiling with some friends. There was a girl hitchhiking. I was single. And I picked her up. And she very creatively started talking about the Lord. And I was at that place in my life where I had been seeking, and not that I recommend that girls go hitchhiking, especially nowadays, or that anyone goes hitchhiking, but I know that God put her there for me. And God is absolutely amazing the way he tailor makes situations. And this is kind of funny. But this girl that I picked up looked a little bit like a girl that I liked, but she didn't like me back. So And I'm glad about that, Nancy. She's over there. But it's just so amazing that God sets it up and he puts the pieces and the people in places to get the job done. And that is to bring us to Christ. So we cast our bread upon the waters. The waters, the sea of humanity, the bread of life. We do it by faith. And it comes back to us. I was thinking about, it's slightly out of context, but Jeremiah says that the harvest is over, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now, the harvest is not over, because we have some more places to go. The summer is not ended, because it's July 21st. And we are not saved means we are not delivered. And we need to be delivered. He said we. He's talking about his people, the Jews, but we could say we. Are we delivered? In other words, you know, are we stuck in our small, puny, predictable, boring, go nowhere, do nothing life? You ever felt that way before? Like ho-hum, humdrum, just more of the same. Turn on the television. No, I'm not saying turn on the television. I'm saying, you know, whatever it is, that rut that we can get into, there's nothing greater to blast us out of the rut than evangelism. There's no greater joy than to share our faith with somebody else. And that is absolutely true. Christ Jesus, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of full, complete, 100% acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Jesus said to Peter, you shall catch men. So how does Christ Jesus save sinners? But by using his people to catch people. We have the opportunity to go to West Virginia. Is anyone from West Virginia here? Oh, you're from West Virginia? Morgantown. Okay, let's hear it from Morgantown. So we're going to the area of Fairmont, West Virginia. We have 10 areas around the city where we're going to go, and we're going to knock on doors, and we're going to visit people, and people are going to open their doors, and they're going to wonder, who are you, and what are you doing here? And then we're going to engage people, not talk at people, but engage people, and listen, and converse, and we're going to, by all means, save some. Pastor Tom Smith and I were in West Virginia Monday and Tuesday, and we went to one of these areas, just prayerfully driving around out in the countryside. And so we went to up, there's lots of hills in West Virginia. Went up the hill, turned left, not much happening. And then there is this gentleman with a long beard and his wife standing there looking at the backhoe. I said, here we go. Let's go. Let's go to the backhoe. And so, hey, how you doing? You're probably wondering what we're doing here. I go, I drive a Harley Davidson. I can't be all bad. And he starts laughing. I said, what's going on? He goes, took the backhoe up in the woods and ripped the hydraulic pump out. So we became all things to all men. We became hydraulic pump specialists. We said, well, what's your name? Frank. I go, Frank, looks like you tore that hose right off. And that support is bent, and you got a vise, and is there a blacksmith shop around here, and this and that. We're talking about it, and, you know, he's kind of, you know, getting some hope on the situation. And so actually we did. We figured out what needed to be done, and he, you know, and his wife Rose was there. Rose was his his encourager. And so then we just turned it to the gospel. And, you know, it was just a beautiful thing because, you know, there was that moment where all of a sudden it's just very quiet spiritually. And you can tell that there is, that the Holy Spirit is doing something in their hearts. And we just had a prayer and kind of put it this way. You know, this, if you want to be saved, then you pray this prayer. It's between you and God. And it was just a beautiful time. So that's what we're going to do next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to have a meeting in Classroom 2 right after the service and give you lots of information about it. So hope you can make it.
Okay, would you stand with me, please? Just stand for a moment. Up. Okay. All right, now, in my heart, I'm thinking about, I'm just saying before God, in my heart, to help us discover, know the joy of leading somebody to Christ. Have you ever done that? Unfortunately, there are many, many Christians who have never done it. They don't. You know how you can talk about things, and then that step when you go to faith and eternity, and that step, how often we don't go there. We don't go there. But you can learn how to speak to people and say something and to have a salty speech, Colossians 4. Have a word in season, you know, to go there. I was speaking with this woman, and it's sad, her husband left her. And I asked, you know, many months later, have you heard from your husband? You know, have you heard from him? And yes. And then the conversation can go just on a very normal level, like, how is he doing? And have you heard from him? And so on. And then that question in my mind, should I say it? You know, should I say it, you know? And what would I say? You know what I mean? Isn't that like us as human beings? We're believers, and it's sometimes challenging, a little bit awkward. Maybe you feel it or not, or you are very bold. But the conversation can go one way. You know, you can tell them, but then it's so satisfying when you find somebody that is searching, that is listening, that wants to know something, that is waiting, and you don't know always. So I would like you just to turn to your neighbor for a moment and just say, have you ever led somebody to Christ? Do you find it difficult to talk? And have you enjoyed that? Have you done that?
All right, so, hey, there's a lot of conversation happening. I guess that means a lot of souls have been saved. That's good, right? Wow, it's so amazing to be in a church that believes in sharing the gospel, and the gospel as it is, not changing it to entertain people. Isn't that good? I mean, where would we be today without the gospel? Somebody sharing the gospel to me. I mean, this is kind of a funny question, but, you know, how many of you are saved? All right, ushers, pay attention to those who aren't raising their hands. Do your job after church. Yeah, I mean, we have been saved, and most of us got saved through somebody sharing the gospel with us. And the word evangelism, actually, for me, has always been very intimidating. Because what it means is that I have to go into somebody's little bubble, right? And God knows what's happening in their world. And I am supposedly God-conscious, which is like a joke in the beginning, maybe, right? So I'm God-conscious, and I am going to this person who is not God-conscious, and I'm supposed to bring them into a place where they're going to be God-conscious. And that is, like, in one sense, it is very intimidating because, like I said, I assume the fact that I am God-conscious. You know, I am saved, and the Holy Spirit is in my heart, and I am aware of God, and I'm aware of what God is doing in my life. But am I thinking about God right now? Yeah, somebody texts me today, and he goes, "What Bible verse is on your heart today?" I was like, wait, let me open my phone, my Bible app real quick. No, because I was so enveloped, you know, I was so involved in my workplace that I was like, whoa, yeah. Like, maybe at a moment I am not God conscious. So we're assuming that I am, so I'm going to share this gospel and trying to bring somebody into God consciousness. But I want to bring it to a different area. Like, evangelism is a scary word, but on another side, it's not, is it?
No.
Because, yeah. Well, let's just turn to Luke chapter 10. This is amazing to think, because evangelism or soul winning, whatever you want to call it, doesn't really matter. But sharing your faith, communicating the gospel, isn't for somebody who has the gift of evangelism. There are those out there in this room that have a gift of evangelism, and we praise God for you. But there are those maybe that don't have the gift of evangelism. So does that mean now, because you don't have the gift, that means now you're no longer required to share your faith? In Luke chapter 10, just in verse 1, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." Now, that is an amazing verse right there because, you know, being a communicator of the gospel, going soul winning, being an evangelist means two things. Number one, it means that you are appointed. And it's not the fact that I'm appointed that is so important. It is actually the fact of who I'm being appointed by. Because you could argue the fact if you are valuable to the kingdom of God, you could say, yes, I'm valuable, yes, or no, I'm not valuable. You could say, yes, I'm a good communicator of the gospel. You could say that I am good at evangelism. You could say I can preach the word of God. Or your testimony might be the very opposite. Because when we look through the Bible, we find that often some of the greatest communicators of the gospel are those that are the least qualified. How about the woman at the well? Was she God conscious? Was she holy? Was she right in her relationship with God? When you read the story, you find the very opposite, that she is far from it. But what does she do? She goes and tells everybody about Jesus Christ. I mean, it's amazing. So here it is like we are being appointed, and the word appointed actually means that we are presented before others, and we are, in one sense, it also means that we are being glorified. So here we are as sinners that maybe aren't so good at communicating the gospel, being elevated to a position where we are being appointed to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. But the second word that's so important there is being sent. Being sent. You know, this is like such an important question to ask ourselves. And for us as believers, it's a very easy question to answer, because ask the question, am I being sent? Am I being sent? Well, number one, here is Jesus. He is sending the 70 who qualifications are unknown. Jesus Christ has qualified them. So they are being sent by Jesus Christ himself, okay? So here am I. I am being sent by Jesus Christ. You could look at it over and over in the Bible and find plenty of evidence where God is compelling me to share the gospel. And some would even say that it is required of me to share of the faith that is dwelling inside of my heart. And then you look at our church, you know, the big group. Pastor Schaller is praying, talking about, you know, the fish and the loaves, the 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, I was like, there's a lot more than 7 up here. I was trying to figure out which one of them was a fish. and then you talk what's happening in West Virginia, what's happening in different places in Maryland, in Frederick and Glen Burnie and Owings Mills and, yeah, here in Baltimore, Dundalk, Edgewood, what is happening in our community, we find that not only are we being sent and appointed by Jesus Christ himself, but we are also being sent and we are being appointed by our own local assembly. Now, Jesus has a lot to say, but let's jump to the end of the story here. The 70 return with joy, verse 17. Then the 70 return with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Wow, isn't that amazing? So they are appointed. Qualification can be debatable right now, right? But they are appointed and they are being sent. And what do they experience? But they experience a movement of God where not only, you know, we could say, well, was somebody saved? Was somebody touched by God? Oh, I had a good conversation, you know. But here they're saying not only was there a good conversation, but people, demons were cast out. In the other gospels, it says that people were healed. Isn't that great? I mean, if we were to come back, you know, with those kind of testimonies from our trips of being evangelism, we would be set on fire. We would be excited about what God is doing. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, "And I saw Satan like lightning from heaven, fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So here it is in verse 19, where not only are we appointed and we are sent, but we are given authority. And they have already experienced their authority over Satan, over demons, over disease. I mean, that's amazing. We are believers, and we are given authority over these things. But this is not what Jesus is saying. Because in verse 18, he's talking how he saw Satan fall like lightning. Imagine this. He saw an eternal being that was created by God himself fall from his position. Think about that. Now here I am, I'm appointed, I'm sent, I'm given authority. Will that always be? I mean, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, in one sense, yes, of course, I'm a believer and I'm being sent and I'm given by God to do these things and I'm given the authority by God. But in my experience can change, can it? Maybe in 10 years from now, I won't even open this book, God forbid, but maybe in 10 years, I'll never open this book. Maybe in 10 years from now, I'll never think about the good news again. I mean, don't say it's impossible because it's happened before many times. Because again, it goes back to this thing. I am nothing. I am nothing. But Christ has elevated me. Christ has sent me. Christ has given me authority. Now, read verse 20. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." Don't rejoice in the fact that you've been given authority. Don't rejoice in the experience that you have had soul winning. Don't rejoice in the fact that you have been sent. Don't rejoice in the fact that you have been appointed. But he says this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Why am I sent? Why am I appointed? Is it because I have authority? Is it because I have a gift? Christ is saying no. He's saying it's something much more simple than that. The reason why you have been appointed, the reason why you have been sent, and the reason why now you are experiencing your authority is only because of your position inside of me. If you didn't have a position in Christ, you wouldn't have been appointed. If you don't have a position in Christ, you aren't sent. And we know for a fact, if we don't have a position in Christ, I have no authority in life, do I? So let me ask you the question, who is evangelism for? It is for those that have a position in Christ. And now what happens? You know, Jesus is saying, I saw an eternal being fall from his position. And now I see someone that is material. I see someone who is not eternal rise to a new position that is elevated above, where one day the angels themselves will be in wonder. See what Christ is saying? That there is something so special about my position that now because of my position in Christ, I am given the ability to share the gospel. You know what? We might experience some great things soul winning. I mean, I have. As a kid growing up, some of my fondest memories was in Rochester, New Hampshire. I mean, some of you guys from the old days remember bus ministry. You used to pick up kids on a bus and bring them to church. So my dad had a bus route in Rochester, New Hampshire, and we picked up, I think it was, you know, one or two busloads of kids and brought them to church. And I remember doing visitation on Saturday as a kid. And some of the things that I have seen, I mean, stuff like this. Don't rejoice in the fact that you have seen demons cast out. I mean, I've seen it happen. I've seen people healed. I've seen people receive Christ. Don't rejoice in that. You know, it is amazing the things that we see. But you know what? There will be times when we see nothing. Nothing happens. You knock on a door, nobody answers. You knock on a door and it slams in your face. You go to talk to somebody and they are waiting for you to pour out the gospel and you stumble on your words. We were door knocking a couple weeks ago with Stephen Diamond and Frederick. And we're both like, what are we doing? You know, just knocking on doors and be like, what do we say now? What if they answer? I hope they don't answer. And there was one lady who had, like, her door was wide open. I'm like, wow, it's an open door. So we like, peeked our head in, but she had, like, a bag of beer cans sitting in the front of her door. So we had to kind of, like, stand on the side of the door and peek your head in to see her. And it was just really funny, and she was not having any of it. You know, but we experience many different things when we go soul winning. We experience a lot. But the point is not what we experience, but where we reside, right? So we reside in Christ Jesus. You know, and you, maybe you've never gone. It's intimidating, maybe, but you have a position in Christ. And maybe you don't preach the gospel, but you can share what Christ has done in your life. Amen? So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gospel, the good news that we have received, that you have given us. Just think about the song service and thinking about the blood of Christ and what it has done in our life. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you don't have a position in Christ, and we're talking about soul winning, and you have no idea what we're talking about. The word evangelism is, you know, maybe we can't even spell it. But it all begins with having your position be in Jesus Christ. And if you've never received Christ into your heart, you can do that today. And he says that he'll come into your life and he will fill you. And he will seal you with the Holy Spirit, and one day that you will enter into the kingdom of heaven, and you will be a child of God. If you've never received Christ into your heart, I just ask that you say this prayer. Heavenly Father, that I am a sinner, and I accept you as my Savior, and I want to be in heaven with you when I die. If you said that prayer tonight in your heart for the very first time, you now have a position in Christ. You are now called a child of God. You are now an heir. And we have been given authority now over the things of this world. If you've asked Christ into your heart, I just ask that you will tell somebody near you or see one of the ushers or one of the pastors here in the end of the service. Just bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.